Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan. And we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, a podcast that is here for the ultimate geek gift guy. Yes, with the Christmas holiday very close by, we thought we would spend some time today to discuss some of the best geek gifts out there that are available for you to purchase for yourself, or probably yourself, because that's how things go nowadays. We're back after a few weeks off with Thanksgiving and everything, and we'll actually be taking a break after this as well, as we spend some time with our family and take that very long December break, and we'll be back though shortly after that. But before we get to all that stuff, how have things been going with you guys?
Kind of boring. Not much been going on. I've been hunting for a couple weeks, as it is the peak of whitetail deer season in Pennsylvania, and I have not had much luck at all.
No.
So I've pretty much just been sitting in the woods staring at trees. So.
Have you been, do you guys usually stay in the same spot, or are you moving around at all? Or?
I pretty much try to stay in the same spot, but if, like, nothing's moving, I try to, like, walk around and stuff, but
maybe
it's tough.
What I need to do is drive my car to where you're at, because that seems to be a great target for deer.
It seems let them jump in front of it.
Yeah, so maybe that's what I need to do. But, yeah. Oh, that sucks. Greg, how are things going with you?
All right, boring. I've really just been like hibernating up in my bedroom for the most part, sleeping way early last night, catching up on some reading.
Nice.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So we, my place of living, recently, like in our apartment complex, they put in a lot of like new plumbing, like pipes and everything. They had to do a lot of digging up and whatnot, and there's actually some unexpected consequences to that. And apparently they dug up like a lot of the area where a bunch of mice have been staying. So the mice fled that area and have found their way into apartments, including mine. We actually got a letter from our apartment complex regarding it. So we're having a guy come in soon to help fumigate. But we do have a little friend in our apartment that we've been...
Just put little antlers on it, and then you could have Chuck wait in your house.
There you go. Yeah. I would not mind that, honestly. I've been, I'm like trying to see if I can rent out cats or something like that for the night, maybe.
Although, be careful how you Google search that.
That's very true. Very true. We did put some traps out. Like, we got some of those sticky traps, and we found out where it was coming, like where it was, and it actually fell on it and like was on it, but got out of it. It's like Houdini the mouse or something like that. I was just, you know, it was stuck on it and would maneuver its way out of the thing. And I'm not going to lie, there's a few times where I saw it and I jumped. One time I was actually getting ready for bed. I was actually in my bed on my computer doing some work, and I saw it and I legitimately jumped, and the computer fell out of my bed onto the ground, and I woke Carol up, my wife, and that she's like, "Why are you screaming?" I'm like, "It's just... saw a mouse, and I don't know, it just kind of happened." It was kind of just the reaction that I had. So
deal with it.
Yeah. I kind of creep around, you know, different areas, like whip open doors just to, you know, from afar, and just in hoping that it won't be there. But yeah, so that's been, we've been having a mousecape basically trying to catch this thing. So
nice.
Yeah. It's not fun. And I was thinking too, is like we have squirrels that are outside that our window. I'm like, you know, mice are just lazy squirrels. They're both rodents, but squirrels don't go in people's houses. Mice do. It's like, why can't you live outside?
Squirrels make their own way. Yeah. You know? Squirrels mice are good people.
Yeah. They got the cool looking tail, and mice are just, you know, being annoying and freakishly small and still quick. So, and then I did the wrong thing and saw a video of a rat jumping, and that has me freaked out because I didn't know that they could legitimately jump that high. I'm like, that's insane. But they're like cats. It's kind of crazy.
You should just call the Punisher and have him stay with you for a few nights. You can just like just shoot your place up.
Yeah, gigantic over. Yeah, yeah. That Wolverine, like call him the Avengers. That's what I really need right now. But I did get some. I've been this summer I tend to have a lot of time off, and one thing I've been doing is I've been reading a lot of comics. And the other day I put out a tweet asking, you know, if there are any great comics that are kind of under the radar that people aren't talking about, and I did get a really good recommendation, so I did want to follow it up on the podcast. And the recommendation I was given was a Dark Horse comic called Lady Killer, and there's actually two. Well, there's one volume in the second edition of it just recently started. Like I said, it's from Dark Horse. It's from Joel Jones, and is the artist, and James S. Rich is the writer. And the premise of it basically is it takes place in like the 1960s with this homewife who is on the side a ruthless killer, a serial killer, and kind of assassin basically. But she has like that really classic 60s demeanor to her. The way I kind of describe it is like has the style of of Mad Men and the viciousness and violence of Dexter. She tends to it's bloody in a lot of ways. Like I could the person who recommended it to me said it was like a waiting to become an AMC TV show or some sort of TV show, and I could really see that happening. It's very great. Like it's, you know, the premise of itself isn't all that tremendous, but it's really executed really well, and a big part of it too is the art. It has that like classic art style of the 1960s, very clean, but when you add in the element of like just the violence, it somehow mixes well together. Like very, the colors for example are very bright and stylized, but it's a pretty amazing, and it's a very quick read too. Jamie Rich, the person who writes it, very limited dialogue, I would say. Very much more visually told than through words, and I was just impressed by it. Great, like I went through the first volume very fast because I kind of just loved it, and I read the first three issues of the current volume that's out right now. It's Lady Killer 1 and Lady Killer 2, and it's great. Like I love it a lot. I would highly, highly recommend it. It's from Dark Horse. The first volume came out last year. The second one's currently going. It's on the third issue of the most recent series. So, like I said, if you enjoy, like, you know, any stories that kind of deal with assassins, I guess, I don't know. It's like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith in a way, but if taking place in the 1960s and a little bit more violent. I don't know, Greg, if you read it, but I think you would really dig it.
No, I have not. I've seen advertisements for it and stuff, but that's kind of all I really know about it.
Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy the one issue where she works undercover at like the Playboy Bunny restaurant. So that's I think you would enjoy that a great deal, if you know what I mean.
If it's pervy, Craig's gonna like it.
Yeah. But I know, Greg, you said you were reading a lot, and I was curious what you're reading. Yes. And what you enjoy, if you enjoyed it or not, I'm not sure.
Both books I enjoyed. I'll go with this first one because it cuts in with your pest problem, but on a much grander scale. I bought this book called The Lost City of Z. I thought it was like a fiction adventure kind of thing along the lines of like an Indiana Jones type of story, which it is, but it's actually factual information about this one explorer who goes down to the Amazon and never comes back, and he's looking for this lost city of Z. Well, he's the one that names it Z and everything, and it's kind of like that like the city of El Dorado, the lost city of El Dorado, and that it's filled with gold and it's like this amazing place and everything. But he was just looking at it as it more of a civilization deep in the Amazon, where people were saying that there isn't civilization cannot be upkept. It's like only small tribes and everything. So it goes into detail about his story, and then it also goes into the story of the author as well, doing the research for the book. His name is David Gran, which it's very enjoyable the way he writes it, because it's not just like a biography kind of going on. He tells it like it's an adventure and like you're there with the explorer, which I don't remember his name, which I feel awful about. I don't remember the explorer's name. But there's all these neat little fun facts of like crap that goes on in the Amazon that you really wouldn't, well, I didn't know about in the first place, with how crazy it is with insects and stuff like that. Oh, the explorer's name is Percy Fawcett, by the way. A very interesting man. The thing that surprised me were all the insects, bugs, and these small creatures that really go after you, as opposed to like dangerous silverback gorillas, different like lions and tigers and that, like jaguars, that kind of stuff. You think it's that kind of stuff, or poisonous snakes, which there are, they do make mention of poisonous snakes and everything, but it's all these small creatures. And then just getting like a cut, it can get so easily infected in there. And there's telling of this one gentleman that was on the adventure with them, and he got cut, and then he got maggots in it. He tried to pick the maggots out, but then it just kept growing and getting worse, and that his body was like super infected, and like half his body was like pus and everything. So it was all these like really graphic, gross details going on, but it made for an amazing read, a surprising read, since I thought it was just this fictional account, but it was actual real life told in a fictional style. So I highly recommend that one if you're into Indiana Jones and that kind of stuff. And this stuff actually happened and everything, and it's really cool. And I think it's quite interesting how he kind of wraps it up at the end as well. Do you want me to do the other book too, Dan?
I do have another comic I read as well, and I know, Chuck, last time we talked about Thanos number one, we did enjoy that, and another one of our favorite characters is getting a series, well, technically him and another version of him, but Nova number one came out this week as we're recording, and
nice.
It has, though it's Nova, but it stars two Novas, because it has Sam Alexander, who has been the Nova for the last few years, like the teenage Nova. But it also includes the return of Richard Rider, who's back from the dead, because that's what happens in comics. People return from the dead. The first issue, I would say, was okay. It's very much just kind of setting things into motion. For those that maybe are coming into it who don't know who Sam Alexander is as a character, it seems to be more directed towards them, because he seems to get the bulk of the book, at least for this first issue. Richard Rider, for the most part, is just kind of meeting with his family, talking to his mom. We do get a nice little visit with Ego the Living Planet, and I'm always a fan of that. So that was a fun interaction. And it's overall, it has a lot of humor to it, which is maybe not like the last Nova book with Richard Rider, which with the Dan Abnett did. I did like it. I will say that the art style wasn't bad. It just wasn't what I was expecting, in a way.
Who was the artist?
It was... That's a good question.
Sorry.
Roman Perez. Raymond okay. Perez.
I think I've seen his stuff before. I'm not super familiar with him.
He's done all new Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Uncanny X-Force, the most recent being the all new Hawkeye from 2015. I've seen his art before too, but this almost seemed different than that in a way too. There was just specific scenes that I don't know how I would describe it, but it's not. It was different than his normal style in a way. The first issue I don't think really gives you a lot. The only the one downside I think of it is that it does appear that it's going to take place mostly on Earth. and which is kind of okay. Like, I'd rather my Nova be in space. I want, like, I have to find him a better character as a cosmic character than when he's kind of Earthbound. Sam Alexander was kind of like a little bit of both. He would be on Earth and in space. Typically, like, he would kind of balance both of those out. And this one, I'm not sure. Like, I do like the idea of their dynamic of what that could lead to. They don't really interact in this one. It could be kind of like a Green Lantern type of situation, but it was a lot of solid humor. Really great bit where, like, Sam Alexander runs into a bunch of birds when he's not paying attention, and he forgets his uniform and things like that. And a lot of him just dealing with people in high school. So I could see if someone's going into this kind of wanting the Richard Rider, being a little disappointed because it's still kind of like a teenage book. But that may change as it goes on. So I would advise maybe giving it a shot. I think Thanos was a, like, much stronger opening than this. But I'm sticking with it mostly because of my love of the character. And I'll see how it goes. And I think it has potential of being something interesting. But, yeah. It's Nova number one, which is currently out now.
Do you think that the two stories will overlap at all? Like,
I think Thanos and Nova? That's the way it's kind of the first one leaves off, in a way. Yeah. There's a kind of a distress call, and it appears like both are going towards it. And the way that the last Nova series ended, like, the new Nova was kind of responsible for bringing back Richard Rider. Like, he was kind of stuck in World Mind. So
yeah.
And kind of helped resurrect him. The guy who writes it, who's Jeff Loveness, which is a real name. He's not done a
Loveness.
Lot. He recently did the Groot limited series, which was okay. He could break out with this, but I don't have a long history with him, and I know a lot of his work all that much. Unlike like a Jeff Lemire who did the Thanos. I don't know. It's interesting. Marvel's had worse first issues with their new launches, like the Venom, which was awful, but it's, I would recommend it, Chuck, maybe. I would think that's one you could probably wait for, like, the first volume. Greg, I know you said you did a lot of reading, including another book, so what else did you read?
I read another book that was actually by an author that I think you and I are familiar with, Dan, and should be a familiar name to at least a lot of the nerds out there. It was a book by Ernest Cline, who did Ready Player One, which was a really great book. This is his, not a follow-up to that particular story, but this is his next book out, called Armada. It was really good. I don't think it was as good as Ready Player One. I think Ready Player One had a little bit more kind of going on to make it a little bit more fun. But Armada was interesting. It's about this young boy. Well, not he's teens. He's younger than us, the people here, me, Chuck, and Dan. But he's high school, older high school age, and he lost his father way back when, in an accident at his work. And so the kid's kind of growing up by himself, but he knows his father through some of the stuff that got left behind in the meantime. And his father was a big video game nerd. And so the kid's kind of following in the father's footsteps, becoming a video game nerd. But the father also has this theory that video games are training kids and other people how to fight wars and aliens and stuff like that. So he thinks it's a whole big training thing. And I could tell you where it goes, but I'd rather you read it for yourself. It's kind of obvious where it goes from that point. But it was very good. I feel like he kind of pigeonholed himself in with this one, with having it about just this game series, Armada, quote unquote, and so it's not branching out into other like video games like Ready Player One did. But it's still a lot of fun. It's very good. There's still all the nerdy references, kind of how he was doing with the first book.
Is it
where he would reference different things? There was that in there too, which made it a lot of fun.
How was it with the references? Because I know, like, the one thing with Ready Player One was it was, like, there was a lot. Like, it was pretty heavy. Like,
yeah.
Is it a better balance with this one?
I think he kind of came back a little bit with it, but I'm not quite too sure because my video game knowledge isn't that high, but it still had quite a bit. I don't think it had as much as Ready Player One, but it definitely gave you the feel of nerdiness and stuff. So it kind of gave you that good feeling like Stranger Things. How it kind of gave you all those kind of things going on with that. So this kind of gave you that kind of same feeling as well.
More of a like stylized homage than like the overall just blatant references.
Yeah, kind of. There are some. There's a lot of blatant references too, but I felt like it was a nice kind of mix and everything, and it had a great emotion throughout it with this kid trying to deal with the fact that his father's dead, and he's kind of this nerd who doesn't really have much going on, but feels like he feels like a lot of us nerds, dorky people that are kind of like limited, but we feel like we have something greater to provide the world kind of situation.
Does it feel anything like Ender's Game? Because I know that had a similar thing where they were using games and stuff like that to fight aliens.
I've never seen or read, I should say read or seen, since the books came out first, but I was interested in them, but I haven't gotten around to it. From what you described, it is kind of like that. Yes, it's kind of like War Games very slightly with the Matthew Broderick kind of situation. And it's also kind of like, what's that one? Oh, it's a young kid that goes to try and save his father over in Afghanistan. His plane gets shot down and the kid learns how to pilot a jet.
Is that a movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
I'm going to have to look it up and I'll probably shout it out later during the contents of this podcast. But yeah, it was a good book. Not as good as the first one, but still above average a read that if you're into video games and stuff, I'd recommend.
Nice, nice. Very cool. All right. Well, there was other thing that dropped. Well, we're recording this, I think, the day before the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer dropped, so we'll probably say and just give our thoughts on that, saying that we're going to go see that movie. But the one trailer we did get the chance to see, including Greg, was the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, the actual trailer, not the... I guess it's a... I don't know if we know what a teaser trailer is and what's an actual trailer, but... but I know, Chuck, we'll start with you. Last time... way back when we talked about the first Guardians trailer for the movie, I remember you were a little hesitant on it. I was kind of curious what you thought of this one, what your overall thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer.
Yeah, I was hesitant on the first one because of that was kind of the teaser, and they were using the same song as the first movie, but I think like we all kind of came to the conclusion that was just to sort of jog people's memory and say like, oh yeah, that's that movie with that song, and like, oh, they're making another one. So I'm glad like when the full trailer kind of got released here, they have a new song, and it's another one of those classic 80s songs, really catchy and everything. And I think this looks really, really good. I'm excited about the comedy, because that was one of my favorite things about the first one. The interaction between Rocket and Groot looks amazing. Again, I think, Dave Bautista, even though he may not be the most brilliant actor out there, it looks like he's gotten some good scenes and some good lines and stuff like that. That looks like that's going to be pretty entertaining. So they didn't give too much away. They showed one new character, which was Mantis, which was pretty awesome. But other than that, they didn't really give a lot away, which I like. And I hope they don't give too much away with any subsequent trailers or anything, but...
Greg, what about you?
By the way, the movie was Iron Eagle. Thought it was really good. And just a feeling, not really anything to back it up, just a feeling. It didn't feel quite as good as I felt when I was experiencing the first trailers for the original movie itself. Don't know why. It was still really good. Loved the music going on during it. Loved the interaction between all the characters. It looks really funny. Love the look of Baby Groot. I even showed my mom the trailer, and I think that was her favorite part, was Baby Groot doing all the kind of stuff going on.
The amount of money that they made on merchandise alone, just because of that trailer, probably can profit from make enough just to make another Guardians movie.
Yeah, to cover the cost of the movie. But yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see it. The only thing that I really had a problem with was I thought Drax was a little over the top at the end, and it was a little bit too much going on there with his laughing at it, but it was still really good. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I guess that's what I kind of looked for. I don't know. The fact that he went with it, and then the do me was that. I'm like, all right, that brought me back. That brought me back. And it's interesting. So for Mantis, like in the comics, she's green, but I guess they decided not to make her green because there is concern that
people too many green characters.
They'd have too many green characters, and people would think that, like having her, like her and Gamora would be. People would think that they're related or something like that, or in the same race or something of that nature. So I think she looks pretty good, the overall design. So I'm curious how that's going to play out. I'm glad they didn't show Ego, the Living Planet, because we do know he's going to be a character, but I do really want to see what he's going to look like in this movie. Like, I wonder, like, how they're going to make that work. And I've heard, like, there has been, like, descriptions of footage that has been released, like, in Comic-Con and things like that, regarding Ego, the Living Planet, and I don't know if that'll ever make its way to the trailer. James Gunn has, I guess, made it very clear that when it comes to the trailers, he doesn't want them to give away any stories at all, which makes sense, because when I think about the first Guardians trailers, it didn't really give you the story. Like, you didn't really have any idea going in, so I think that will continue here. But yeah, I think it's just, I don't know, it feels good. Like, it's just, like, it's cool seeing that world again. I'm excited, and I thought, you know, the Baby Groot going crazy was a pretty big highlight too. So, I think it'll be good. It's going to be a pretty stacked year, I think, for Marvel, because they have that, they have Spider-Man, and they have Thor. So, a lot of things to see next year.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys think they're gonna drop Warlock in this one?
I don't know.
Like, I think make more of a mention of him. I'm not sure if they're really going to go too far with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're already introducing Mantis and Ego, so it's, like, you're not sure how many new characters they're going to introduce, you know?
I could see, like, a name drop or something like that, like, similar to what they did in Civil War, or No, Winter Soldier with Stephen Strange, how, like, they just kind of drop it off. I could see something like them talking about, like, oh, they're reaching out to the most powerful people, like Eternity, Adam Warlock, and, you know, something like that. I don't think there would actually be a person, though. But, you know, Marvel does love to drop their Easter egg, so who knows?
For sure.
Which could be literal in the sense of Adam Warlock. So.
Right. Do we know, I don't know this myself, but do we know if the Collector is going to appear in this one?
I don't. I do not, honestly. Maybe you could probably check IMDb and the cast list, but I've been trying to stay away from that because I don't want anything spoiled for me.
Right. I was just curious because I didn't know if he had, like, another part to play, because if he is in it, I would say there's a good chance they might go the Warlock route, because, you know, since the whole thing circling around him escaping, you know, from the Collector's collection and everything, so...
I'd be great. I mean, I would love it too if Cosmo showed back up, or, you know, I think they would go back to Nowhere. If they do, he wasn't located there, so there's a possibility. I think
I could maybe do without the Howard the Duck appearance this time.
Yeah,
I could live without that.
We don't want a Howard the Duck movie. We don't know how to. You know, it went so well the first time. Why not do it again?
I think they could get away with, like, a Howard the Duck, like, cartoon.
Yeah. Speaking of cartoons.
Or like a web series.
Did you see the, I mean, this is kind of out of nowhere, but they released some footage for the new Justice League cartoon coming out next year? The Justice League Action or whatever?
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Neither did I.
It's done by, you know, the people who did the last Justice League series, but I think it's geared toward a younger audience. Like, the episodes are only 15 minutes each, but it looks like it could be good. There's some, a lot of things dropped. There was a scene with the Joker on Apocalypse. So that's a lot of fun. So, So it does seem like, even though it's, I think, technically geared towards a younger audience, it's not like, what's that, Teen Titans Go, or what have you.
Yeah.
So. And I watch that sometimes.
I've never watched it. I've heard it's funny, but I've never watched it. I don't have a, whatever, is it Cartoon Network it's on?
Yeah, I believe so. I think so, yeah.
And also DuckTales is coming back next year, too, so.
Yeah, it looks, I saw, like, a screenshot, and the style of the artwork looks, like, way more cartoony. It kind of looks, speaking of Teen Titans Go, it kind of familiar to that kind of little bit more animated-y, cutesy kind of look.
Yeah. Well, they had a thing released where it's like a teaser trailer, and then I watched it, and then it was just the logo and kind of the theme song. I'm like, that's not a trailer. That's just a logo. That's not...
Oh, guys, by the way, I do trailers now.
You do trailers?
Yeah, because it's apparently just a logo. I do trailers now.
I know, right? I mean... Might as well.
You gotta put music to it on it.
Damn, I'm screwed.
Or you just have to like hum something while you're doing it.
Or just a little bit of animation, and that's all you need. But
I'll whistle the Andy Griffith theme. That's one I could do pretty well.
Perfect. All right. Well, what we're gonna do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about, you know, you might want to get your lists ready because we'll be talking about some great geek gifts that are out there. We'll see you in a bit right after these messages.
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we have scoured the world of the internet and all that great stuff to look at some great gifts that are out there that we would maybe like for ourselves, I don't know, or just you think, you know, if you're wondering what to get someone, because I think that's as you get older, it's harder to find things to get people because it's like, here's a gift card because you can't go wrong with that, I guess. But anyway, so we'll talk about some of that stuff and should be fun. I guess, Chuck, maybe we'll start with you. Looking at your list, what are some of the great gifts out there, the geek gifts out there that you think people should be having their eye on?
One thing I found was really cool. It's a interlocking LED Tetris lamp.
Nice.
Yes, it's got LED bulbs. It comes with 7 different pieces from the Tetris game, and you can stack or arrange the pieces in any order you want, and they'll still light up.
That is amazing. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's actually really cool. They have a picture on it. I found it on thinkgeek.com.
And a lot of cool stuff there.
Yeah, it's about $40. But if you're a fan of like Tetris or old games or anything like that, I'm guessing it would look pretty cool on your desk and everything. So I just thought it was really interesting that you could, it was almost like a little puzzle. You could stack it, you know, any way you want, the way like the plugs are on every side and every piece. It'll still function, it'll still light up. So I thought that was neat.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think my son would love that because he loves Legos. He loves things that light up. So that's like, I would, you know, that's hours of entertainment right there. So.
Right.
One thing
in the dark.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I found, so we're talking about trailers, and I don't know about you, but I actually watched the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer on my phone when it first came out because I was at work and I wanted to see it during lunch. And, you know, smart screens smartphones, the screens are getting bigger and bigger nowadays, but there are actually some really great smartphone magnifiers. And this one from uncommongoods.com. And what I'll do too is I'll put all this in the show notes at geekcastradio.com that you can go out and take the links and actually find, but it's called a smartphone magnifier, and it's actually in the shape of like a classic old tube TV. And what you do is put your phone in this compartment, and it basically magnifies the screen. And looking at it, it's a pretty great picture. I would say probably doubles it in size, which is, you know, people like that. And it's only $30 too. So I don't know anything how it affects the sound at all, because looking at the way the image works, you kind of, you slide your phone in and then the screen magnifies. So I guess if you have Bluetooth headset or something like that, it shouldn't matter, but it looks pretty cool. And a little bit of old school there too, which is, you know, that's always a cool thing to do. I remember when I worked at Macy's and they would have like CD players that look like record players, and now they have MP3 players that look like CD players, because that's the world we live in. But yeah, you can find it at uncommongoods.com. $30, which may be a little expensive, but you know, it's something unique and something kind of cool. Greg, what about you? What do you think? Anything out there you think people should have their eye on?
Mine's kind of a little bit more specific kind of thing, because I actually wanted to get this, but then I found out the price and I was like, damn.
Is it the Batmobile?
No, it's the DC Icons Batgirl of Burnside action figure, and they call it a playset on here on Amazon where I found it. But it's very cool. It's a Batgirl of Burnside action figure with actually you could interchangeable head, some interchangeable hands, interchangeable cape as well. And it comes with her motorcycle with a little piece of ground with it splashing up puddles and everything. But it's like $80 here on Amazon, but still very cool. It's 5 3/4 inch tall, looks very well sculpted and everything, but the price is just woo. Yeah. But it is, it's kind of like a small statue almost. It's pretty cool, but I'm not sure if the price is that great for it. It seems kind of expensive.
What's it made out of? Is it
plastic?
Plastic? Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and I guess that's what Christmas is for. One of the things Christmas is good for asking for gifts for is the expensive stuff that you don't want to spend that much for, but have somebody else. There's other ones on here. It has I see one here for $50, $57. So. Check around for prices. You may find cheaper somewhere else, but I think it's a really cool action figure with all the interchangeable parts, and the sculpt looks really damn good. So it's kind
of
neat.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like a lot of those statues you can get a little bit cheaper now, but some of the I feel like the statues price have gone down for some, but yeah. Then the price of some of the figures has gone up, but then the quality has gone up too. So
actually for DC, they do a really cool black and white set with Batman. At this point, it's just been mostly Batman. I think there's been like a Superman one out there, but they have it in different styles of like the different artists. Like I have a Dave Johnson Batman, and I also have a Batgirl of Burnside statue. They're in black and white and everything, and they're a bit smaller than a normal statue, but they're also a lot cheaper. I think I got them for like $75, something like that. So
yes,
they're not much more than that action figure I was talking about, but they're really cool and nicely sculpted and everything.
Cool. Chuck, do you have anything more on your list that people should...
I do have a pretty cool thing also found on thinkgeek.com. This is sort of a movie novelty thing, but it's a Back to the Future flux capacitor USB wall charger.
Nice. Is it? Does it work? Because that, you know.
Yes, it can take you back in time to before there were cell phones, and then it's useless. So, it's basically, it plugs into your outlet. It lights up, and it's kind of like that blinky like thing, just like the flux capacitor in the movie. It looks just like it, only on a smaller scale. And there's two USB ports in it, so you can charge two devices at one time. It's pretty awesome, just from the looks of the picture, and like they have a little like a video of it like lighting up and everything. It looks pretty awesome. It's regularly $25, on sale for $15 right now. So
that's not bad.
Pretty good deal. You know, go check it out on thinkgeek.com if you're interested in that. But I thought it looked really cool. It'd be really neat little charger thing to have.
Yeah, that's cool. And then if you just get plutonium, then you're good. You can
Right. And you could, you know, you could toss like eggshells and coffee grounds in there, whatever.
That's awesome.
Can of Coke.
I wonder if it's the thing. It's like it takes your phone back in time to when it had a full battery. And yeah. Right. I always love those little novelty things. That's awesome. So mine's, I guess, kind of geek related, kind of not. Zach, this is probably something really anyone would like, but you know, when you get older or really, you know, sometimes you wake up in the night and you kind of, you got to go or maybe get a drink, go to the bathroom, what have you. And sometimes it's dark out and you can't see anything. And then kind of get kind of, annoying, or you have to turn the light on, but you don't want to interrupt anyone. But there's a problem, or there's a solution to that problem of having to get up and not being able to see anything. They have actually developed what's called the MyLight bedroom motion activated light. So what this does is that if you get out of bed at nighttime, it will sense your movement and actually light up underneath your bed. So you'll be able to see and walk and be fine, but it won't disturb or overly bright the room or make it too bright to go back to sleep. And then when you're back, it'll turn off for itself. So it is a little expensive. It is currently available on Amazon for $60. It is Prime available, so you can get free shipping if you have Prime. So I guess you do save on that end. But, you know, it does require some assembly, of course, but it's two LED basically strips that are used, so it should last for a decent amount of time. And looking at the photo, the person walking seems to be able to walk perfectly great while the person in the bed is sleeping like an angel in a position that no one ever sleeps in. Like no one ever sleeps in. Like everyone when they're sleeping is always like a disconcert, you know, all over the place. But you know. And ads, they look, you know, nice and well put together. But
so that sounds pretty cool, like that concept, like the lights coming from underneath the bed, so it's not really even reaching the person's eyes that's lying down. So
yeah,
and then tell your kids that it's a monster under there, and then you could stash your porn there without it getting attacked by your kids.
Yeah, yeah. The only problem is it might cool light too. Up underneath the bed, and sometimes underneath the bed is a pretty gross place. So.
It's good that, you know, you can do that without disturbing your wife, assuming you're one of the geeks lucky enough to be married. So
true,
you know,
true.
There's very few of them out there.
I could just, yeah, I don't know. There was a joke there, but I'm going to stay away from it. So
Dan doesn't want to get beat up by his wife, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
True.
If you listen close, you can hear Dan get smacked.
Which I make jokes just to get Dan smacked.
That sounds wrong in different ways. Yeah, I don't know. speaking of getting smacked, Greg, anything? Any other things you people should be looking out for?
Yeah, I was thinking about artwork. Like, I collect a lot of comic artwork, but then I'm like, well, that'd be expensive maybe for some people to get their loved ones some comic artwork. But then as I was thinking about it, they could also help out that person. Help them display their artwork by getting them frames, or I have a nice little book that I had for art school with these nice clear pages, and you could put stuff your artwork into these little pages. It's kind of like a giant version of like the baseball kind of card holder type of thing that you store your baseball cards in. So you could do something like that, and it's pretty inexpensive. I've been buying a lot of frames at AC Moore, and they've been having a lot of buy one get one half off kind of deal, or 50% off is what I've been usually getting anymore, is 50% off each frame. And I've been getting matless frames, so there you don't have to put in the mat inside, which kind of helps you your eye focus into the picture. This one, it's just two pieces of glass that your artwork is pretty much sandwiched in between to keep it in place. And then there's just the rest of the frame, which kind of gives it this more modern look to it. So I think that'd be something really good, especially if your significant other, friend or whatever, that you could get, help them out, display their artwork, and, it'd be pretty cheap. I've been getting, I think it's about an 8x12 frame for like $15, I believe. And then even just a little bit bigger here at, I think it's a 16 by 20 size, and you'd put in a smaller piece of artwork. Those were about $30, and so they've been getting knocked down to about $15 for me for with the 50% off at AC Moore. Nice. They've been having good sales.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I know you have a lot of great artwork, and it's always the other part of that is finding a way to display it. So that's cool. That's a good way to get around that. Nice. Chuck, anything else you got?
So my next thing, I found this on a website called thisiswhyimbroke.com. Also have a lot of cool stuff there.
I call that amazon.com. So.
Right. Yeah. Amazon, eBay, all of them have the same name for me. But this is actually a pretty cool idea. It's a remote-controlled flying shark. Yes, you heard that right. It's actually this huge, like, blimp-looking thing. It's actually filled with helium. So it kind of actually really is like a blimp or a zeppelin type of thing. And on the back, there's, like, the tail fin. It's almost like a little rudder thing, and it goes back and forth and everything and kind of propels it. But this thing is fully remote controlled, kind of flies through the air. I'm guessing not very quickly, but still a pretty cool idea. It's only about $30. So kind of a, I guess, I don't know, might be a little bit of a lame thing, but it's kind of a cool novelty thing. If you're into, you know, Sharknado or like something weird like that, or if you just want to freak people out with a flying shark, you know, there you go. What's more terrifying than a flying shark? So
yeah, that's
chase some kids around, have some fun.
That will haunt my dreams, you know, man.
I don't think the mouth like opens or closes or anything. I think it's just kind of like painted on this thing, but the like the tail moves and everything like that. So I don't know how well it steers, but.
I'd fly it around wagging its a little tail so it looked like a little puppy.
I would like fly it inside my office and like chase people around.
Get like you know the Jaws theme on your phone and you know.
Right. I would probably like chase people into the bathroom with it and stuff, like fly it like up over top of the stalls and like come down on them.
I was going to say something like that, but I was going to have a camera on it or something. Go ultra pervy with it. You know how I go.
Or just have it like hanging out behind them as they're at the urinal. Just waiting. It's like, just like,
yeah. Put like a speaking. Hurry up, man.
I can't stop moving or die because that's how sharks work. So, right. So the next thing I have on my list is actually probably my favorite thing that I was able to find and something I was like, you know what, I want this. I would never use it probably, but it looks freaking awesome. And it's also from ThinkGeek, the site Chuck you're talking about. So I don't know if you saw this as well, but it's Captain America Shield backpack. So the way it basically makes it look like,
I think I saw that.
It makes it look like you're actually like holding Captain America's shield on your back, like you like they do in the movie. So if someone saw you from behind, it would see this gigantic shield, but it's really a book bag, and it looks great. Like it has the kind of the coloring from the movie, and has the kind of worn feel to it. It looks freaking awesome. It is. $65. I don't know if I could legitimize. I mean, and I don't, you know, I couldn't see myself taking that to work as much as I would love to. It would probably be awesome to take to like a Comic-Con or something like that, though. But I don't know if it is.
Probably check Amazon. It might actually be cheaper.
Yeah, true. It looks great, though. It's, you know, the straps and everything kind of have. They kind of went all out with it, so. I don't know how well it functioned as a book bag because it, you know, being round in that shape may not be the most practical thing, but it does look badass, and that's, you know, that's all you need.
You have to buy all round books to fit in there.
You need to get that, or and then like the you know, like the jackets they have like that. It looks like basically the Captain America from Winter Soldier jacket. I think Greg, you had it. Yeah.
So I have a Stormtrooper hoodie that I could zip up the hood completely, and it looks like I'm a Stormtrooper almost.
Yeah, I think they have that one for Captain America, too. So
they have it for Captain America. They have it for quite a few. There's Deadpool ones that are really cool. There's a Magneto one that's pretty neat. There's a lot of them out there, and those are usually pretty cool.
All right. Greg, do you have anything else on your list you wanted to talk about?
Here's a quick, easy one that, of course, I'm going to be pushing because I'm an addict. And I think you guys know what I'm going to say here. Funko Pops. I have a ton of them. They're all over the place. The common ones are about $10. I believe Entertainment Earth has them for... buy four, get the fifth free or something like that. And then if you spend about over $50, there's free shipping and everything. And I'm sure you could go out there and there's usually different deals out there at this time of year for a whole bunch of different Funko Pops.
Is it bad if I say I don't own one Funko Pop? Is that...
Yes, it's terrible, Dan. That's terrible. Yeah. Terrible. No, it's fine. I think it's one of my own personal kind of addictions, and I've seen a lot of people out there, and I've been on different forums and stuff where there's a lot of different people with a Funko Pop addiction kind of going on.
Yeah, it's kind of why I don't want to get one, because I feel like it's one of those things that you can never just get one, because when you get one, it's going to be like lonely, so you'll need to get another one, and then you know it'll just snowball.
Yeah, once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, I feel like they should have went with that as a slogan. I guess.
It was taken by Wavy Lays or Ridges or whatever.
It's Pringles, right?
Potato chip Pringles.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Pringles. I don't remember.
Cool. Chuck, anything else from you?
I have a couple more things, but the one I'll say, this is probably for the younger crowd, but I remember when we were kids, at least me anyway. I used to be really into Nerf stuff and Nerf guns.
Oh,
and
Nerf was awesome.
Yeah. I used to love having like Nerf wars and stuff with people and everything. That was like a great time. Some of my best memories. But I think I'm not sure how new this is. Some people may have heard of it already, but they have this thing out called a Nerf nuke. And it's basically, right, it's only a matter of time, right? It's basically this huge, like, ball, and it looks like a bomb. It's like this huge ball with these little tail fins on the back, and it shoots out of this huge tube freaking thing. I mean, this thing, I'm talking, it's pretty big, like the size of a basketball, pretty much. And it, like, slides over this tube thing, and basically all around this sphere are little holes, and there's darts in these holes all around the sphere. So it looks like a big spiked ball thing with like dozens of little darts in it. And so there's like a couple of like release buttons or something on it. So like when you launch this thing through the air and it hits like a wall or the ground or a person or anything, it releases all the darts and it shoots in every direction outward from the sphere. So it's basically like you could hit every target if you like shoot this thing. And I just thought that was really freaking awesome. And I would have loved to have that back when I used to do Nerf Wars as a kid. so freaking cool.
Man, they've really stepped up their game, man. It's insane.
They have, yeah. They showed this little video and stuff of people playing with it, and it just looks like if anyone is in the vicinity of this thing, they're going to get hit with several darts. It's just like, it's incredible. It's like $100, but I don't know. I guess if your kid is like really into Nerf or something, you know, it might be a cool thing for them. You get some brownie points as a cool parent for getting them that. So,
if that's the kid where they are with Nerf technology, I want to know where they are with Super Soaker technology. You know, like how.
Yeah, really. that was another fun thing. So like that.
Yeah.
See, we had good toys back then. Like.
I know it's crazy. Now they
kind of getting away from that nowadays. Like, they still have some stuff here, obviously, but it's like, I don't know. Those are the good old days.
They have the most weird toys. Like, I was at Target, and they have, like, these gigantic, like, you know, it got to be, like, 3 or 4 feet tall, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Stormtroopers. And I'm like, that, they look cool, but what are you going to do with that? Like, it's, I don't know.
Right. They just kind of stand there in the corner.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like even the kids' toys are more geared towards adults now. So, it's weird. I have two things I'll talk about real quick. The one, it's not much to talk about, but and I know most people that are in the movies may all be aware of it, but some people may not be. And have you guys ever heard of MoviePass? So
no,
okay. So what MoviePass is? It's kind of like, imagine it's kind of a subscription service, but instead of saying getting something in the mail, it's a service you sign up for, and you go to the actual theater. So basically, you pay so much a month, and I think it's an app or a card that you get to use, and it kind of works as like a debit card. So instead of paying $8 for a movie, you would pay whatever you do for a month, and you go to the movies and use that as your card to get in to the theater. So you kind of, if you go to the movies a lot, you end up actually probably saving a good amount of money because of how expensive movies can be. So it may not work at every theater, from my understanding, but I do know a lot of people who do rely on it, who do go to the theaters a lot. Personally, I don't go to the movies that much anymore, so it's not something that I would really use. But it is out there for those that do want it. And the other thing I was going to bring up is sometimes you just need a catapult, and there's this awesome like little wooden catapult. It's only $15, but it's working and functional. It's about, it looks like 12 inches tall. You put it together, and you have yourself a desk catapult. And you know, sometimes people have annoying office mates, and sometimes you just need to use a catapult.
I do.
So this will be perfect for you. You know, if like she's being too annoying, you can take her down a step or two with this amazing catapult. So it's only $15, so it's not too bad.
That would be awesome.
Greg, you have anything else?
I think another great one that works for kids and adults, because I do this as well, and nobody tell my brother, he doesn't listen to this podcast anyway. So I think I could get away with saying what one of the things I got for him was Legos. I got him some Star Wars Legos, AT-ST, and a TIE Fighter. I found some good deals on those. Those can get rather expensive, so you may want to look around for the best price. But they also have like architecture ones. I got... my favorite architect is Frank Lloyd Wright, and so I have Falling Waters, which I've been to. I've got Guggenheim, but they have other stuff. They have the White House, I believe. And they have other famous structures as well to build. So I always think Legos are a cool way to go, because they could go for kids, they could go for adults. It could be a cool thing where you buy it for your kid and then you both build it together, kind of a thing. I know my boss's one friend buys Legos, and him and his son build them together. I think they put together this huge Millennium Falcon together, and it was kind of like their little project together. So that's kind of a neat little thing I think you could do.
Actually, last Christmas was the first time I got my son Legos, and he finally just started playing with them, and he's a big fan. So the bigger kind, obviously, even it is fun just playing with them. Like, I don't know, there's something addicting about playing with Legos, but
yes,
and you know, we have Lego Batman coming out soon, so there's that too.
Yeah, that looks. I saw the trailer for that, and that looks kind of fun, but yet dorky.
Yeah. The way it should be. Chuck, you mentioned you had some more.
Yeah, I have probably one more good one here. This one is probably the best for last. I think this is like a really cool idea, even though it's like the dumbest thing ever and you really don't need it. But sometimes those are the best kind of gifts. But this is actually a fully functional pancake printer.
Okay.
So basically what you do is it plugs into your computer, comes with a software package, and you upload it onto your computer, and basically allows you to trace any image that you find, whether it be one that you've taken or one that you found on the internet. You trace this image, send it to the printer, which it's basically, it kind of looks like a 3D printer if you've ever seen one. It kind of has that overhead bar that slides back and forth both directions. And what it's actually printing on is like a hot plate. So it's actually, it's has this little batter dispenser, just like a 3D printer would. And it's drawing the image that you trace with pancake batter. And then you turn on the hot plate and it... So basically, like in the picture, they have a like an Eiffel Tower, and it's like extremely detailed and everything. And there's a couple of other pictures and stuff like that. Like you can make some really detailed images for pancakes for no apparent reason other than just for, you know, the heck of it. But I thought it was a pretty crazy device, pretty crazy idea, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat. I think I've seen like people like freehand that kind of stuff where they're making pancakes and they put down like this quick first layer and that's going to get the darkest. And then they put on the next layer and that's going to be a little bit lighter because it's going to spend less time than that first layer. And so they kind of build it up like that with drawing different layers. And I always thought that looked kind of neat. So yeah. I'm assuming that's kind of what you're talking about, except the machine kind of does it for you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Actually, let me send you guys, the link to it real quick in Skype here. But the one drawback is that it's like pretty expensive. So by that, I mean, it's over $200.
Even the 3D printers are expensive.
On this particular site, it's saying about $290. On Amazon, it's less. It's like $210 or something like that. But I'm guessing you have to be really into pancakes in order to, in order to do this. Or just really into art and like drawing things in different mediums and stuff like that. But it's called Pancake Bot. Pretty impressive. There's a little YouTube video and stuff on there and everything. But
very cool. It's
yet extremely cool idea.
Yeah, I saw that too. And there was like, I guess... not nearly as advanced, but it was like a waffle maker that would make waffles in the shape of BB-8 from Star Wars.
Oh, I saw that one too. Yeah, that looked cool.
Not nearly as advanced, but I have one more too, and it's kind of just a generalization. And I know people all like know about Loot Crate and all that other stuff, but there were tons of different subscription boxes out there. There's also one called Comic Block, which, you know, if you're a fan of comics, it's kind of a good one to get because it sends out like monthly comics and t-shirts and things like that. There's a, for those that are huge Nicktoons fans, there's an actual Nick box and Geek Fuel, which I feel like is a cheaper version of Loot Crate, but has some good stuff as well. And actually there's a great site that just basically combines and gets together all the different subscription boxes that are available, which I feel like are the one thing keeping the U.S. mail system alive right now. I think they're a great thing to get someone for a period of time because, you know, you get like a, it's basically a gift that keeps on giving. So that's my last one. Greg, you have any more before we end this episode?
No, I think I'm spent.
You could, you know, you give the greatest gift of all, which would be a subscription to this podcast, and it won't cost you anything. You can give us a great gift by going to iTunes and giving us a review, because a lot of the old reviews that we have when you switched over servers for Geekcast Radio or feeds, we kind of lost them all for the most part. So I think we have a couple more, but that'd be great because those are a way to, for people to find the podcast. But yeah. But I think that'll kind of bring it us to a close. And what I'll do, like I said, is if you go to geekastreader.com, we'll have links available for all this stuff if you want to check it out for yourself and give the gift of, give some people some cool stuff this Christmas. But if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so by going to geekastreader.com, like I mentioned, commenting on the episode post. Let us know if there's other geek ideas out there that we didn't mention that are that are available that you, people should have their eyes out on for. You can contact us on Facebook or Twitter. We're at Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
And I am at The Create Forge.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next month. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or a Waffle BB-8.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking about gifts in circles. We'll see you next month. Next year, maybe. By the time we talk to people again, it'll be a post-Rogue One year where our time period was we've been able to see Rogue One.
Yeah.
That, and of course...
And the kick is gone!
And you know what I could go for? A win in the playoffs for fantasy football. Or a championship. That would be amazing. After my wife before that time, I need to win credit to the
look for you, Dan. I don't think I'm going to make it.
I appreciate that. I need all the help I can get.